Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of the Stretch Track Podcast presented by the Dude and Grim Show and co-produced by Mr. Ivy EST. I'm the Dude.
And I am Grim. And today we're going to do something unprecedented on the Dude and Grim Show. It's kind of like an initial first impression of a project that's taken place in which Roger Waters is just going to water down history and piss all over the place by apparently re-recording Dark Side of the Moon. So,
yeah, I was initially when I heard this.
Can we just start the album by throwing this out real quick?
What the fuck is that shit?
So this is going to come out October 6th. So we got a few months to prepare for it.
Make sure you have a new fucking stylus for this one.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, dude, I just got to ask, like, right off the bat, do you feel like this is sacrilegious? Because it certainly feels a little dirty.
It's all those things rolled into one.
Yeah, I mean,
there's so many other adjectives that I could list for this, many of which are probably would be deemed inappropriate.
Yeah, I mean, now I guess I would ask is it one because it's Dark Side of the Moon, which we widely probably consider the greatest of all time? Is it also because Roger Waters is, you know, he was a member of the band, they've had a huge falling out? And that's been, you know, definitely reported on and everything. They've had such a contentious relationship. And now he's just like, hey, I'm doing this. Like, is it?
And not only that, but he just seems to be sort of a notable asshole in other opinions that he's put out there recently, which have caused controversy. Like, he just seems like one of those dickhead people that you kind of can't help but not really like.
Yeah, he's not. I feel like he's not doing himself a lot of favors.
No.
And I don't think this is going to be one of them. Now, we'll get into some other things. But here's the deal. Now, other people have done this or similar things. We had, a couple years ago, the Flaming Lips covered this album and put it out. They put their own Flaming Lips.
But it was very different.
Spin rendition on it.
And they didn't do it the first time.
Yeah, that's true. And I feel like now here's the deal. You know, let's just take the Flaming Lips, for example. Apparently, Michael Ivins isn't in the band or associated with the band, or they've had a falling out or something's going on. Now, with Flaming Lips went and like re-recorded this off Bulletin or Yoshimi, I would have the same response, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like,
absolutely.
So that's one example. Now, Taylor Swift has also done it, but she did it. She did it very wisely. And for kind of financials,
really respect
and sort of a middle finger, right? So
yeah, because her former, I guess, manager or whatever, Scooter, he just seems like a real shrewd asshole too. And it's one of these people that have no talent, but the money that they would get just wasn't enough, so they had to like be partial owners of the master tapes and stuff because I guess it was just not lucrative enough. So. She kind of just said, you know what? Fuck those masters. I'll just re-record all the albums again and we'll see who wins because I think my fans will buy them. And guess what? I have not bought them. I'm not a huge fan of hers, but no disrespect. And I'm really glad that she did that.
Yeah,
I think she should just put out an album where the whole cover is just middle fingers.
Just Eminem it out. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Because he had it coming.
Yeah. We've also seen, maybe, well, not on this channel. They're not lesser known because we have a lot of Bungle fans. But Mr. Bungle did this with their Easter Bunny demo. But that was essentially like their first album that they recorded. I think it was like in high school, man. And then now they just recorded it, like re-recorded it a couple years ago. But it's like, man, you know,
professionally.
They recorded professionally. Two, it's like it's got to be fun. Be like, oh, man, we did this when we were like kids and young and everything. And now we get to like, you know, sort of do it. Not if I say the proper way, but, you know, yeah,
more proper than you could have in high school. Yeah. And that really, you know, we were talking offline, but same sort of principle with Car Seat Headrest with Twin Fantasy. It was just, you know, not that he felt like he would just was so much more in touch with it. But it's like it's got to be different when you did these projects before you had any resources. And then to think about man, I like all that stuff. I'd like to give it a shot having these things that I did not have in place before. I kind of get that.
Yeah. I mean,
I definitely get it in the Taylor Swift in her reasoning. That's awesome. And I'm glad that happened.
Yeah. It's one thing if you have, you know, some, you know, not only knowledge, but the resources, you're like, wow, I can actually do this and do this properly. Now there's sort of a flip side to that. And just, I'm going to take it away from music for a second, but as far as like movies go, right? Like, you know, with Star Wars, you had George Lucas and he was like, now you had the true fans just like us with Dark Side. And now, man, it's like I watch Star Wars and there's these just like these little things that is not the way I heard it. It's not the way I know it. It's not the way I saw it and everything. And it just feels a little weird to me. And that almost like you, I mean, it was a pun, but dude, definitely watered down, like just kind of changing that stuff a little bit. And it just, there's something about it, man, that it's just, I don't know, man. It doesn't, it's not awesome. Like,
To me, that's how I relate to when Bob Marley recorded a lot of, now he didn't do it with albums, but
did it with songs.
Even though there were certain limitations to recording quality, when they did their sessions with Scratch Perry in the early 70s, when he re-recorded a lot of those songs, I mean, there's a ton of them. Kaya is one that comes to mind just because the album. I'm sorry, that new version of Kaya does not have the soul. It just lacks something. They were hungry. there was just a certain element that is not there on the new stuff that Bob Marley when he re-recorded it.
Right. There's definitely a richness, right? Jamaican
quality wise, it's great.
Yeah.
Right.
But you hear the new version and it's clean. Now, I mean, I like the new stuff. I like the new album, but you're right. It does sort of miss that sort of characteristic. Definitely. Now other bands have sort of redone it. We talked about for the video game Guitar Hero. And like, I think the Sex Pistols, Aerosmith, MC5, Third Eye Blind, Alice Cooper, Space Hog, Motorhead. But like, I think it was the Sex Pistols. They actually had to re-record theirs because they couldn't find the master tapes. So, you know,
dude, now that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there are reasons for, I think, you know, for a lot of that. But this, you know, it's weird.
For some of those old songs, you wonder how many tracks were recorded on the mat. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like there may be limitations to down. The only.
Totally.
Yeah. The only thing that exists anymore is that final two track. I don't know, but it's possible.
So let me read you this quote from Roger Waters and kind of his idea behind it of wanting to do this.
I am waiting with bated breath.
Yeah, the original Dark Side of the Moon feels in some ways like the lament of an elder being on the human condition, Waters said in a statement. But Dave, Rick, Nick, and I were so young when we made it. And when you look around the world, you look at the world around us, clearly the message hasn't stuck. That's why I started to consider what the wisdom of an 80-year-old could bring to a reimagined version. And
well, let's talk about that because we have a couple. We have one full track and we have a preview for Us and Them. I think I'd like to have you describe it, dude, because I think your description was exactly what I was thinking when I listened to it.
Yeah. So initially when I think it was on The Consequence of Sound, they have the video. I'm sure you can get on YouTube and everything, but it's basically you hear the track Money and it is slow. He is basically speaking the words. He sounds like an 80-year-old man. And to me, it sounded like Leonard Cohen. It sounded like a Leonard Cohen version.
Rip off
doing Money. And to be honest, man, and then you put Us and Them on, which again, it's a slower song itself.
But
it sounded the exact same. I'm like, I mean, first of all, like, dude, I mean, at this point, Roger Waters is... voice is it's not as spry and youthful as it was. Not that it was ever like absolutely amazing, but it fit the music.
It had a little fire.
But this is just, I mean, dude, if this is what the wisdom of an 80-year-old is bringing to a reimagined version, I don't know if I want to, you know, I don't know if I want to listen or look at that.
Dude, I know that we're going to do our proper first impressions episode at some point. I'm actually not looking forward to it. Yeah. Like, I view that as a waste of time in my life listening to a piece of shit remake of something that just is sort of the definition of the gold standard for what a rock album could be.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why I feel almost more than him doing it without the band is it's like, wait a minute, you're not just going to do like this album or that album, or like you're literally choosing one of the highest selling albums of all time that it just has. It's just the status of it. Like you said, the gold standard. And
just get over it. Go out with somebody else.
Yeah. Well, what I would have rather him do is take that wisdom of an 80-year-old person, but also take the concepts, take the ideas, take the concepts, take the themes and everything that we see in Dark Side of the Moon and apply that to new music, right?
Yeah.
Like, instead of just, hey, I mean, you know, there's that saying, you know, you can't polish a turd. Well, I feel like this is almost like the opposite. It's like he's throwing shit at gold, you know?
And that's like, a great way to put it.
It's like, come on, man. So, yeah, I'm not optimistic about this. I don't know what good is going to come of this. I don't think a lot of people I don't think true fans are going to be all about it. I think people will listen to it once and be like, okay, that's it.
That was a waste of tape.
Next.
Yeah, I agree. And I love how he tried to sell it as like, I think it'll actually be a perfect companion to the real album. And I'm like, for what? When you want to take a fatal dose of morphine and drift off? Dude. Like, come on, man. It's
that album does not need a companion. It stands alone. Like,
yeah, exactly. You know what the companion is? Fucking Wish You Were Here in your record collection next to it. That's the companion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Animals.
100% right. Yeah, absolutely.
So I think in conclusion, I want to just sign off from the Dude in Grimm Show with one big collective.
What the fuck is that shit?
What would you and know? With that,
let us know what you think below.
Yeah.
Are you
after
looking
you
forward
go
to
ahead,
it? Are you guys looking forward to this? Are we just being like, you know, not open-minded, just old dudes who are just like stuck into like, no, this is the only way? Should we be
you know
more open-minded?
You know, it's tough because I only have the wisdom of a 42-year-old. Exactly. I don't have the wisdom of a fucking 80-year-old.
No.
It's a real bitch, man.
But maybe when you're 80, you'll be like, man, I want to check out that reimagined version of Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I get it now. It just took me another 38 years.
That's probably what it's going to be. So 38 years from now, we'll be thanking you, Roger Waters. All right, guys.
But until then.
What the fuck is that?
All right. It's time to go on the Dude and Grimm Show.
The Dude and Grimm Show.
Scratcher Track is produced by the Dude and Grimm. Additional music provided by Moore and the Tings. Copyright 2023. The Dude and Grimm Show.